welcome everybody to another stupendous, tremendous, suddenly dark episode of Game of... Was it this dark last week?
No. God. Well, we weren't here last week.
I guess... Well, I was here last
week.
You were
here.
Because we were talking about Breaking Bad last week, it just felt dark even though it actually wasn't. But man, boy, it sure feels dark this week. But...
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Game of Thrones is coming, but Game of Thrones is coming, like, I think in the spring, which is kind of ironic. They should have worked
a little bit, yeah,
to make that come in the winter. But welcome to Game Over, the premier video game show hosted currently by two brothers and no one else, as Matt Heumann
is on his way
for the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and usually a third guy at Mondays at 5 p.m. only on 101.5 UMFM. I am your host, Simon Pazdor, doing my faithful squad mate, Adam Pazdor. And before we get started, I have a little bit of housekeeping that I want to do. I want to say hello. In the past, we may have done shoutouts in the past, but this we're going to be breaking new ground. I want to say hello to our youngest listener yet. Somewhere out there, I've been informed that a little boy named Max is listening, and I want to say hello, Max, and we appreciate your listenership, and we hope that you enjoy and hopefully understand what's about to come. But we appreciate you guys listening. Now, do you want to say hello to Max out there, Adam?
Sure. Hi, Max.
Hey, there we go. Okay, so on with the show, because there is a lot to talk about, and I just mapping it out, it was kind of intimidating. How the heck are we going to talk about all this stuff in half an hour? First of all, slight confession, I ordered both Adam and I Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, because who needs Pikachu? But we both got Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, and we got it off Amazon, and Amazon has dropped the ball, and the order is apparently coming this Wednesday. So we do not have early impressions of Pokemon Let's Go Eevee for you because we don't have the game. And we won't have early impressions of Pokemon Pikachu because no one wants Pikachu.
No.
I sent you one of the videos that I was watching where it's like, you could pick Eevee if you're a dog or a cat person, or pick Pikachu version if you're a fan of rats, I guess.
Yeah.
Rats and hamsters and lame stuff. So yes, we're definitely both getting Eevee. I did confirm... in some reviews that you can't evolve Eevee, which kind of made me sad.
Oh.
I mean, it makes
sense.
That's
the whole point of getting Eevee.
Yeah, but you can't evolve. But Eevee is just straight up cuter than Pikachu.
Well, yeah.
So, you know.
But I mean, honestly, once I knew you were getting Eevee, I would have got... If someone had told me then, you know, you can't evolve Eevee, I would have been like, okay, just give me Pikachu.
Well, and then maybe trade with Matt or something. So find someone who's getting one or just go to Eevee Games and just slip it off the shelf, you know.
Yeah, just
who knows? Now, the more I think about it, we haven't even gotten our hands on it, but the more I think about it, I have a relatively controversial opinion for you to drop on you.
Yeah.
The more I think I like the idea of not battling wild Pokemon. I don't know if necessarily catching them, because from what we've heard, this new game takes the phrase catch them all very literally, and that you literally should scorch the earth by capturing everything you see.
Yeah.
That's not the answer, but the more I think about it, I like the idea of wild Pokemon being different than trainer battles. Before they both used to be battles, I like the idea of it being an entirely different interaction. I'm not sure if this is the correct interaction, but the more I think about it, the more I like that idea. Have you moved? Has your needle moved on this issue at all?
I think that's probably the right way to think about it. It is kind of weird, but having said that, it's okay that it's different. That's fine. I agree with you. I don't know if this is the right decision, but it's an acceptable decision. And of what I've heard about Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, that is not a thing that concerns me.
Yeah.
The fact is, like, if you just want to limit the battling to trainer battles, because, like, you think about the anime, right? Does Ash grind against wild Pokemon?
Yeah.
No. Never. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I have not watched the anime in some time, but I assume that has stayed constant.
Mm-hmm.
His Pokemon level up by getting the trainer battles, not by... Generally, if he encounters a wild Pokemon, he ignores it or catches it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the more I think about it, the more I'm very open to the Pokemon routine being shook up.
Yeah.
Again, I know a lot of people... I've seen, like, people online who are saying, like... By the way, the reviews of Let's Go Pikachu from other people, and Eevee, obviously... are great. I'm not like 10 out of 10, but people are being like, yeah, it's a really good game. Like, it's well made and they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So knowing that, I think the more I think about it, I think I'm open to maybe even in the next main series game on the Switch in 2019 to it being shaken up.
Oh, I'm totally down with that.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things from what I can tell people don't want to go back to. Like the idea of random encounters, people don't miss that. Like, if you're hunting a guy, you can actually just see it and run over there and grab it.
That seems like definitely the
way to go. And I hope, as I've said before, that the scale of the 2019 one is more on the scale of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Because now that we've had Breath of the Wild and Red Dead Redemption in particular, I'll single out those two games. Like, you guys, I guess, put The Witcher 3 in there if you really wanted to. But Breath of the Wild is the clear one where it's like the whole we don't have the technology argument doesn't work in a post-Breath of the Wild world.
Yeah.
We know you do. The ideal Pokemon game in my head is less impressive than Breath of the Wild was.
Yeah.
That's how impressive that game was. And you did that over a year ago. So expectations are pretty high.
Well, I mean, I think, and just to continue the Breath of the Wild thing, my ideal Pokemon game is not less impressive than Breath of the Wild. It's probably more impressive. And I think the only reason that's true is because Breath of the Wild had, what, 200 monsters tops?
Yeah, max.
Pokemon has 800.
Okay, I meant more in terms of, like, you wouldn't need to worry about all, like, the little things that, like, the tiny details. You can just go on YouTube and look up 1,000 crazy details that you never would have noticed in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And there are 1,000. That's what I mean. Like, you wouldn't have to get that into the weeds of the Pokemon game.
Yeah.
The more important stuff is on the surface. But you can do that kind of stuff, and you created this amazing world. You can do it again.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident.
I think they can.
Yeah. But we're going to move on because, again, we just don't have that much time. And Matt will be joining us hopefully soon. So we're going to move on very briefly to a couple of games that have gotten remarkably bad reviews. The first one being The Quiet Man, or A Quiet Man, I think it's called.
Oh, boy,
yeah. We won't go down that road. We haven't purchased it, thank God. But when that game was revealed at E3, it looked like it was sort of Daredevil, but you're deaf. Like, it's a fighting game, and you're deaf, so it's like, that's how they marketed it. It got released with no fanfare, no ads, no nothing. Clearly, they knew it was terrible. And the only thing you need to know about is this. This is the title of a review that I read, which was, "You're better off setting $15 ablaze than buying The Quiet Man."
Yeah.
Remarkably good review.
Yeah, not to be confused with the movie A Quiet Place, which is very good.
Very good, yes. Not to be confused with that one. The next one is Fallout 76 came out. Again, I wasn't even totally aware that Fallout 76 came out. But it's got a 4.3 on GameSpot, 2.5 out of 5 on Games Radar.
It's 59% that high.
Yeah, 50. Google reviews are at 50%, 59% Metacritic. Man, this game is just getting roasted.
Yes.
But we haven't played it, so we won't go too far. Maybe we'll devote another episode, like, if we can analyze it. But, man, like, the fall of a giant. Or at least the proof that this experiment did not work.
No.
I feel like it's sort of like with BioWare and Mass Effect. You have someone that you're the best at what you do at. You can expand on that, but don't lose it. And they seem to have lost the plot.
I actually saw a really interesting theory online, and I wish I could remember the guy's name. So I'm just going to put a disclaimer about this, that this is not... I didn't come up with this, but I think it's really important to think about, is that now, again, this is opinion, but in my opinion, and I think the opinion of a lot of people who enjoy the Fallout series, New Vegas is the best one.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
A lot of people who got in really, really early, like, have fondness for the 2D ones, mm-hmm. Fallout 1 and 2, but in my opinion, New Vegas is the best one, and it's not close.
Yeah, I've heard that opinion multiple times.
New Vegas is the only one Bethesda didn't make.
Interesting.
They outsourced that to Obsidian. And a lot of people think, and I wasn't aware of this until today when I was looking this up, but first of all, the development cycle on New Vegas was incredibly small. It was like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And they made, and that's why, like, originally New Vegas got a lot of criticism for just looking like Fallout 3, which it did.
Yeah.
But it had a whole new story. Like, just it was gigantic. And there was just a lot to it, and I really, really liked it. But, yeah, that was developed by Obsidian.
Hmm.
And some people think that Bethesda essentially said, you know, like, we're going to get Obsidian to do this. And I think they kind of wanted New Vegas to fail, just as a sort of, you know, you'll take what we give you and like it because no one else can do it.
Yeah.
And then somebody else went and did it better than they did in an aggressively short schedule.
Interesting.
So I think part of that, like, is... Now, as a person who really enjoyed Fallout 3 and really enjoyed Fallout 76 and thought Fallout 4 was a huge misstep, and now they're doing this with Fallout 76. I said Fallout 76 the first time. I meant New Vegas. now that we're doing this with Fallout 76, like, I'm not going to buy this game.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to wonder if somebody doesn't need to come in and take this off their hands. I feel like after the first two Sony Spider-Man movies, I just want Marvel to come in and save me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because somebody has to come in and, like, take this property away from them.
I wonder if this isn't Andromeda Syndrome, where, remember that one, the space game that they're developing?
That.
The stars, something like that, but they just basically only showed a screenshot at E3, but it was like a space game.
Oh, yeah.
Something to do with that. Yeah. I forgot the name of it. It doesn't really matter even because it's so far away. But I wonder if this isn't kind of like Anthem with BioWare, where it's like you notice that the products are suffering. And like, I know everyone out there has been like, there's multiple studios working on it. Yeah, but those studios could be working on the game if they could. You can, like, look at Rockstar, right? They just released Red Dead Redemption because they probably had like 50 studios around the world working on this friggin' thing. You could have multiple studios working on the same game. And I think that they might have devoted some of their like A-list players to whatever this new IP is.
Yeah.
So that clearly came at the detriment of 76.
Yeah, and it's just, what a... I don't know. It feels like a lot of companies are making huge missteps lately.
Yeah.
First Blizzard and now this.
Oh man, the Blizzard one was sad. Okay, so we'll move on though.
Yeah.
It's award season, so I will swap some. First of all, I don't know if I gave a full review of the Spider-Man DLC the other day, but it, like, the best parts about Spider-Man are still there. So like the swinging is great, the combat's great, the characters are really good. This is the best iteration of Black Cat that I've ever seen. But all the stuff, like if you're a Spider-Man naysayer and stuff, like, bothered you. Like, the crimes felt a little bit too similar, or, you know, you didn't like doing whatever it was. It's more of the same.
Okay.
So it's more of the same in the good way.
It's not
going to
change your mind.
It's more of the same in the bad way. It's not going to move the needle for wherever you land on that game. But I am looking forward to the other one, which is coming out tomorrow. So we'll see. Because it is story. I think they're all connected to the story. And it continues, like, immediately after the
end of the first one.
Which is a lot of stuff happened at the end of the first one. So I was kind of surprised they're not going to wait until the next game to touch on it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Two big game award shows. Well, one, the Golden Joystick Awards already happened, and the next one is the Game Awards. That's kind of the bigger one. It's on its way to becoming our version of the Oscars. We talked about it last year. It's hosted by Jeff Keighley, and he seems to be kind of spearheading this thing as making games a more legitimate medium with this show. But the Golden Joystick Awards already happened. So we'll talk about the nominees for the Game Awards, and I want to go over who won for the Golden Joystick, because I feel like you're going to have...
Opinions,
yeah. So I'll just go down the award winners here. Best Storytelling, God of War.
Yeah.
Hard yes on that one. Best Competitive Game, Fortnite. I mean, neither of us play Fortnite, so we'd have to get Mike and... I'm blanking the other guy's name, unfortunately. We'd have to get there in here, but... I think you have to respect Fortnite. It's kind of like Overwatch a few years ago, where it's like, even if you don't like it, you got to respect it.
Yeah, the model clearly works.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
They changed the landscape with that.
Yeah.
Best cooperative game, Monster Hunter World. Based on the fact that we lost Matt for a little while there, I think we have to bow down to that one, too.
We have to say okay to that, yeah.
Best visual design, God of War. Agreed.
Yeah.
Best indie game, Dead Cells. That's slightly controversial, and we'll talk about that later, because there's this indie game, Celeste, which came out way earlier this year, which is blowing people away. I've seen, like, multiple perfect reviews for this game.
Huh. I've seen Dead Cells played. It looked very interesting to me. I haven't played it myself. I know nothing about Celeste.
Yeah. Still playing a World of Tanks. I guess that's a perpetual game kind of thing. Best performance, Brian Deckert as Connor from Detroit Beyond Human, or Become Human. Makes sense. Esports Game of the Year, Overwatch.
Okay.
Fair.
Yeah.
Best VR, Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim VR.
Fair. Of course it is.
Get it with that one. Studio of the Year, Santa Monica Studios. Fair. Best New Streamer. Best New Streamer / Broadcaster. The same guy who won Best Performance, actually, Brian Deckert and Amelia Rose Blair. Mobile Game of the Year, not Fortnite, PUBG. Didn't see that one coming.
Okay.
PC Game of the Year, Subnautica. That was the one that I think... was it Santa Monica or was it Insomniac? One of them teamed up with EB Games.
And yeah, they developed a lot of them. Oh, that was the swimming one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hence the name of Subnautica. PlayStation Game of the Year, God of War.
Yep.
Xbox Game of the Year, Forza Horizon 4. Fair.
Okay.
People like, those are really polished games.
Yes,
you and I aren't really racing people.
No.
But that makes sense.
Cruising USA.
Nintendo Game of the Year, Octopath Traveler. I really want to try that one. I've heard amazing things about that one. Breakthrough Award, Unknown Worlds, Most Wanted Game, Cyberpunk 2077, weird award.
Yeah, that's a very strange award.
Critics' Choice Award, Red Dead Redemption 2, which has been mysteriously absent from a lot of these. This one, you're going to hear no argument from us. Lifetime Achievement Award, Hidetaka Miyazaki from Software. And outstanding contributions of the Xbox Adaptive Controller, and Game of the Year is Fortnite.
Game of the Year is Fortnite.
Yeah, I think that's more of a... this has gotten a little bit of controversy, and we'll talk about it with the Game Awards, the more formal one. Because, spoilers, Fortnite isn't even in the Game of the Year category for the Game Awards.
Yeah.
And I think this is more of a... similar to how Black Panther, they wanted it to, like, they created that whole most popular thing.
Oh, yeah,
I think
yeah.
they even took it back. And that was basically so they could push Black Panther or Infinity War to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they're doing with Fortnite. Like, as a game, as a piece of art, I don't think Fortnite's that impressive. But as a game to do, you know, like...
Yeah.
It's a game. Like, it's not a criticism to say it's a game. It's very gamey. Tremendously impressive. But... I think that awards, like Ultimate Game of the Year, I feel like you should be pushing the medium forward a little bit, not just being extremely good at one thing. But then, again, I'd have to probably look at Overwatch, too. So I feel a little uneasy about that one. How
yeah.
do you feel about it?
I don't know. I mean, the concept of award shows always kind of weirded me out, because, like, the very specific ones I get, like the, you know, prettiest technical design or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, those ones I understand. But when you ask the question of game, or indeed for the Academy Awards, movie of the year... I find myself going, how do you grade that?
Yeah, who's voting and what are they voting on? You need a yeah. rubric, you know, like
yeah,
you had in
yeah,
university and high school?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you looking for?
That's what I need is, like where do the scores come from? Who judges this and how do they judge it? Because, and like, I'm sure there are a set of criteria you could give me where I'd be like, yeah, Fortnite is the best at this criteria.
Yeah, it's something.
But... if you just said to me, what's your game of the year, then my brain jumps to what, like, basically what you said, what do I feel is the most perfect exemplar of video gaming this year?
Video gaming this year, yeah, I agree. Matt, what do you think?
Hello.
Hey!
it's for game of the year?
Yeah, so we're just talking about how Golden, we'll catch up, Matt, and anyone who just came in. The Golden Joysticks, we're talking about, they already had their awards,
right.
And the Video Game Awards announced their nominations, which we're going to go over after this, but Fortnite won Game of the Year at Golden Awards.
Hmm.
We're talking about how we feel about that. We're feeling uneasy.
Yeah, I would share that same feeling, I think.
Okay, so I think we'll all agree with that sentiment. Adam said it nicely. So we'll move on to the Game Awards nominations. These are probably the more formal ones. So, again, some games... for example, Super Smash Bros. Are coming out too late to get onto the award nominations.
Okay.
In fact, I think Super Smash Bros. Comes out December 7th, and these awards are on December 6th. So it's going to be in next year's, I assume. Game of the Year. So we'll start off at the top. Number one is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Okay.
Okay.
Number two is that Celeste game that I was just talking about.
Right.
Three is God of War. Five is Marvel Spider-Man. Six is Monster Hunter. And
why did we skip four?
Sorry, four. Numbers. The first one, the next one. Okay, so it's Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter, Red Dead. I like that list.
It's a solid list.
I haven't even played all that game, so I watched a few videos on Celeste because I was like, what is this? And it looks like it is really impressive. So I'm sure. Best ongoing game. And these ones, actually, they give a little blurb on what they're looking for. So, for example, this one says, awarded for the game for most outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. So there you go. You know what to look for.
Okay, so I know who should win this.
Destiny 2, Fortnite. There you go.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky.
I mean, they did have that big patch.
Overwatch, honestly, could win.
Yeah.
Because it's still big, like 3 years later. And Tom Clancy's Rainbow Siege, which I've heard good things about, but
yeah, that does seem to keep coming back.
Best Game Direction, awarded for the game studio. Awarded to a game studio for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design.
Okay.
A Way Out, Detroit Beyond Human, Become Human,
Yeah.
God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, Red Dead 2. Best Narrative, you could figure that one out. Detroit Become Human, got it right that time. God of War, Life is Strange, Marvel Spider-Man, Red Dead 2.
Man, Life is Strange came out this year?
Yeah.
It feels like it's older than that.
It might have come out at like the end of last year, beyond the nomination season. Mm-hmm. I'm not totally sure about that. Don't quote me. Best Art Direction: Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Octopath Traveler, Red Dead, Return of Obra Dinn. Don't know what that one is.
Yahtzee reviewed that one. That's the only reason I know what it is.
There you go. Best Score / Music: Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni, Octopath Traveler, Red Dead. You're seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
The Usual Suspects. Best Audio Design: Black Ops 4, Horizon, Forza Horizon, God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, Red Dead. Best Performance: Brian Deckard, Detroit Become Human, Christopher Judge, God of War. The person who plays Cassandra in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Melisanthi Mahut, I think her name is. That's me giving it a shot. Roger Clark, Arthur from Red Dead, Yuri Lowenthal, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Games for Impact. How many more of these do I have to go? I want to actually get your guys' votes here. I think I got the big ones. And then we have Best Mobile Game. We have Best VR Game. Best Action Game. Oh, I guess there's
a lot.
A ton. Yeah, so we'll have to devote an entire episode to this. But I like these nominations a lot more. I look through them and I'm like, the right games are in the right categories. These things all seem to make sense. And again, going through the Golden Joysticks, a suspicious lack of Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're like Adam and you're not, that's not your thing, it's similar to Fortnite. You have to respect the beast.
Yeah, it was like, it was weird that it just wasn't there at all.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't have the nominations for the Golden Joystick, right? We just had the winners?
True.
So, it's hard to say, like, maybe it was nominated for every award and just happened to lose them all. Yeah. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride,
I
kind
suppose.
Of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say for sure, but it is. Yeah, it was kind of weird that it didn't win anything.
With a game like that, you would expect that, like, even if it doesn't win a bunch of things that it was nominated for, you would still expect it to like squeak out a few.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was kind of weird. I'm gonna try to get a more complete list that doesn't have guys talking in the background of my intro. Yeah, there we go. So I have them all in front of me in a nice, neater list because it's a big blur on their website. The websites look very nice, so I encourage people to go look at it. But obviously the big ones here are Red Dead, Spider-Man, and God of War. Those are the top three.
Yeah.
And then it seems like Monster Hunter and Assassin's Creed are right there to round out probably the top five most significant games this year, which is crazy because I've played like all of those. Except for Monster Hunter. But Matt...
Sad face.
...has truly...
I have played a lot of Monster Hunter.
...a very well-rounded opinion of what's going on this year. So honestly, if I had to give my opinion on who I think should win Game of the Year right now, I think I'm going to cheeseball it a little bit. I think I had the most fun with Spider-Man. I think that Red Dead Redemption is the most impressive, and I think God of War should win Game of the Year.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. I mean, I haven't played Red Dead, but I can already tell you that it would not win my Game of the Year just because it's not for me.
It's astonishing, but it still has, like, and all of these games have warts.
Yes.
Like, people can rightly point out problems with Red Dead. It's very slow.
Yeah.
It's got a few classic Rockstar problems. You can point out problems with Spider-Man. We pointed some of them out earlier. You can point out problems with God of War, the lack of boss fights, mostly.
Yeah.
But I think God of War is the most... When you're looking back at this year, it's going to be the one you're like, yeah, that's...
Yeah,
that's what made the biggest impact. What do you guys think? Actually, Matt hasn't played God of War.
Yeah, I haven't played God of War, so I can't really. Yeah, yes, I do. I really do.
Yeah.
It's been a busy fall.
I really have.
Trust us, we know.
Yeah.
I can't really give a fair opinion on God of War, but I would sort of echo what you said. It's like, yeah, I had the most fun with Spider-Man. Red Dead is probably the most impressive technically, looking at it. I've put the most time and like I haven't been gripped by a game like I have by Monster Hunter World in a long time. So that would probably be my like pet game of the year where it's like, yeah, that one's my favorite, but like I don't think it actually should win.
Yeah.
You know what, I'm just gonna get a little pet peeve out of here. Not that you guys have necessarily said it, but I really hate when I'm reading reviews or watching a video or something and someone's like, Red Dead Redemption 2 has one of the best, or like Spider-Man has the best swinging mechanics of any Spider-Man game like the last 10 years. That's a terrible example because Spider-Man 2. But you know what I mean? Where they're just like, this is the best looking game in the last 5 years. What game came out 6 years ago that looks better than this?
Yeah.
The games that are coming out this year are the best games that have ever been created look-wise.
Yeah.
Mechanics-wise, things can change. But Red Dead Redemption 2...
Graphics only get better.
Graphically, Red Dead Redemption 2 is the best game ever created. I don't have any hesitation in saying that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's absolutely true. Trust me, if you had seen it, and I'm always annoyed when people are just like, this is the best looking game in 10 years. What?
What came happened out, 11 years ago?
What came out in 2007 that looked photoreal?
Yeah.
I feel like Bethesda is the only major studio that, like, might, some games from a few years ago might beat what they're putting out now.
True.
But it's just because that's not what they're going for.
No. Yeah, it's just not, they're not even attempting it. So, yeah, we'll get a, we're not going to talk too much more about the nominations. Maybe we'll pick an entire day when it's similar to now and we just haven't beat anything because all these games are like hundreds of hours long.
Yeah.
But final thoughts on these Game Award nominations?
I think it's, and this is sort of tangential, but it's still on point. It's weird to me that in 5 years, I'm going to look back on this year and go, do you know what the most exciting narrative experience I had this year was? God of War.
Yeah.
The game that I picked when I was angry to unwind when I was younger.
Yeah. I'm going to segue from God of War into Red Dead Redemption because I'm sure Matt and I both have some stories to tell. In possibly the greatest segue I've ever said, which is Red Dead Redemption 2 is the only game that features the word boy more than God of War. It was a meme in God of War how much he said boy, but if you're riding a male horse, prepare to hear boy every 5 seconds. Which is great, because they both have such soothing voices.
Yeah.
Matt, how has your Red Dead Redemption 2 experience been these past couple weeks?
It's been great. Before I talk about it, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Ni No Kuni and Octopath Traveler. Ni No Kuni getting the nom for soundtrack. I adore Joe Hisaishi's work.
Yeah,
he's wonderful.
Studio Ghibli guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a lot, most Studio Ghibli movies, I believe. And yeah, the soundtrack for the Ni No Kuni games is incredible. And I love the look of Octopath Traveler, so I'm really glad it got for visual design.
Yeah.
But yeah, Red Dead has been great. I feel, honestly, just over this last weekend, like I've really started to actually play the game.
Yes.
Like, you know, before you're just sort of like messing around, sort of like figuring things out and learning what you're supposed to be doing. I feel like now I've just started.
Yeah.
Like the real game.
I kind of hit my groove too.
Yeah. Which is weird because I've already put like 20 hours into it.
That's why it's so slow. Like not everyone has that amount of time. It's just crazy. But yeah, I know what you feel. Like I've played probably in the past week. I finally sat down and played a little bit. I've probably played like an extra 15, 20 hours above where I was last week, which is a lot for me because I don't get to play very much. But I don't know if I did a single story mission. The side content is that impressive that you can fill an entire game's worth out of the middle, a middle chapter's side content could be more than some content that games have.
Yeah. Oh, I did maybe, I think, one story mission this week.
Yeah.
And actually, I will say that mission is the first time that I felt the so-called sort of invisible walls of the game.
Yeah.
So I guess spoilers for people who, you know, haven't got there yet. But you do a mission to break one of your gang members out of jail.
Yeah.
Which turns into just shooting up the whole town
because
the guy's a
maniac. Yeah, he's a jerk.
Yeah, and so like at one point when I realized that he was just going around killing people for fun, I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. So I tried to kill him, and it wouldn't let me.
I really wish you could.
Yeah.
I really wish you could have left him in there.
I put my gun straight at him, missed him a couple times, like stopped, aimed carefully. And you know, like when you go over a horse, because it also doesn't let you shoot horses, and like the reticle sort of like grays out and you can't do it. Same thing on him. I was so disappointed.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, I wish you could have. Before we end, I want to share a little bit of a story that I had. I've had a ton of fun with random encounters, a ton of fun just doing around doing side missions on my own. And a prisoner walked up to me and he said, hey, can you shoot my chains off? So I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm a villain too. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. Like, John Marsh was on the upswing versus Arthur Morgan is not. He's still very much an outlaw. So it's like, I kind of have to change the way I play. I'm like, I could be a little more villainous. It's more of this character. But I shot it off. He gave me a tip on some house to rob. I rode over to the house because apparently they had a lot of money stashed away. I heard like a son pleading with his father because they didn't have any money because the father would like drink and gamble it. Like, it's clearly an abusive father situation. I'm like, do I want to rob these people? So I walked in. The father pulled a gun on me. I lassoed him because I didn't want to shoot him because it's got like an innocent son right there. The son went and cowered under a bed. I very carefully stole the money. Felt horrible about it. And then left the father lasso. But I did look it up on Reddit to see if there's any more going on there, and people had such wildly different experiences with this. It's crazy. Hmm. Some people killed the father and the son, just walked in, murdered everyone, stole the stuff. Some people killed the father, not the son. The son said different things about it. Some people killed them both and came back to it later, and they did a different dialogue. Some people killed the father, not the son, came back to it later, and the son a different dialogue. Wow.
Like, or if you're like me, when you come across the guy in chains on the side of the road, you take too long to shoot his chains, and he just runs away. But I'm like,
or that could happen. Yeah.
But I'm like, no. We're going to get this encounter. So as he was running, I managed to shoot his chains anyway, and then he just ran away faster.
Yeah. This is... Oops. I mean, we won't even talk... We'll have to talk more about it next week because we're out of time. But, man, like, the ways things can go, all the tangents, all the different stuff we can go down, it's so impressive. Your camp might be the most impressive thing I've seen ever in a video game. Like, just walking around the camp is insane. But we're out of time. Stay tuned for a special memorial-themed episode of TV Talkers coming your way, and we'll see you guys next week.